Welcome to Animals Today. This is Dr. Peter Spiegel. You've reached your home for serious talk about animals. And you know, most of us have encountered homeless individuals on the sidewalk or in a public place like a park, and not infrequently they're accompanied by a dog or two. I bet you've wondered, what is going on there? You know, besides the difficulty endured by the people, what is the reality for their companion animals? What kind of life do those animals have? And what should our reaction be? And should those people have animals at all? The homeless and their animals is the first topic of this episode of Animals Today. Later in the show, Lori will be exploring the use of small remote-controlled aircraft in the ongoing battle to protect animals with Steve Hindy from Shark. Steve pioneered the use of drones to monitor illegal animal cruelty, and now PETA has expressed interest in adopting this technique. So we'll find out if this is a good idea. Now I want to welcome Dr. Leslie Irvine, who has written a fascinating book titled My Dog Always Eats First. Looking forward to getting into this because this is a serious attempt to describe what's happening with homeless people and their animals and to answer questions many of us probably have. Leslie Irvine, PhD, she teaches sociology at the University of Colorado at Boulder, one of our favorite places. Her research focuses on the roles of animals in society. She has studied selfhood among animals, animal sheltering, human-animal play, youth in the 4-H livestock program, and the feminization of veterinary medicine. Her previous books are titled If You Tame Me, Understanding Our Connection with Animals, and Filling the Ark, Animal Welfare and Disasters. Welcome, Dr. Irvine.
Thank you.
I have to say, when I first saw this title and showed it to Lori, we were really excited to see that someone was addressing this question in more than a superficial manner. We always wonder about these animals you see accompanying the homeless. So tell us, how did you get interested in this topic?
Well, as you know from the book, I was one of those people who wondered, too, if the homeless could give a good home, so to speak, to a dog. And even many years ago, I was even one of the people who offered to buy a homeless man's dog because I was so certain that the dog deserved a better life. But I've spent a lot of time volunteering in animal shelters, and I know that having a home is absolutely no guarantee that you'll provide an animal with what it needs to live a good life. So early in 2010, I was approached by the publisher of the book, Lynn Reiner, here in Boulder, and the editor said they were, you know, they had been talking about the homeless people around with their dogs, and they wondered if anyone was interested in writing a book. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll look into it. And so as I began to talk to people who lived on the streets with their animals, I was really interested to see that they were concerned first and foremost with their animals' welfare, often to the detriment of their own well-being. And that's where the title of the book came from. I heard over and over and over again, my dog, or in some cases, my cat always eats first. So I began to do the research very slowly by approaching people on the street. And you know how it is when you're not looking for something, you see it all over the place. And sure enough, I kept seeing homeless people with their dogs when I was not ready to do the interviews. But when I actually went out with a notebook and a voice recorder, no one was around. So I got online and I stumbled on the websites of some veterinary clinics, too, out in California in particular, that have longstanding street clinics for the pets of the homeless. And Vet SOS in San Francisco began by going out in a van to places where homeless people camp. And over the years, they've evolved to have to set up clinics in particular sites that rotate around the city. And the Mercer Street Clinic in Sacramento has a monthly clinic for the pets of the homeless at a homeless shelter. And through those two resources in particular, I was able to really talk to a lot of homeless people as they gathered for these clinics, which were mostly spay and neuter and vaccination and basic care. And then I also did some of the research in Miami, the Camillus House homeless shelter, one of the large, you know, multi-purpose providers of the homeless, is building a new facility, and they're including kennels because they've recognized the importance of animals for their homeless clients. So I was able to go down there and do some interviews on the street with an outreach worker. And then I did a number of research, of interviews here in Boulder, where homeless people pass through because it, you know, it's such a beautiful place and so welcoming to animals.
So I wanted to ask you a couple of things related to, you know, the process of your research. It seemed like almost automatically, the first thing you need to do is go out there and speak to these people. You really can't accomplish anything unless you're on the ground. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, you can't, because animals are not allowed in homeless shelters, you can't go out and do a survey like you could ask questions of, you know, the general homeless population. So you really have to go out and look for them, and you have to know where they congregate. That's where the veterinary street clinics were so helpful.
And going in, were there specific questions you had in mind that you wanted to try to answer, or did you initiate this just trying to see, you know, just get an overview and see what you discovered?
Well, I definitely wanted to let the people tell me what was important to them, because I did have some ideas that I wanted to find out how they provided care for their animals when they had no place to stay and no money, or very little money. But I just wanted them to tell me in their own words, in their own way, how they provided what they saw as a good life for their animals.
Yeah. So please speak a bit about the relationship and the bond between the people and the dogs, and I guess there are some cats and even other animals. What are sort of the features that stand out about the relationship between the homeless and their animals?
Well, most strikingly, in many cases, the animal is really the primary and often the only relationship that the homeless person has. And so, especially for the chronically homeless, these are people who have lost ties with their family. In some cases, there's addiction or mental illness, or there's, you know, there's been jail time along the way, and they've kind of run out of all their social network resources, and their animals are their main source of companionship and social support. And this was, you know, definitely true for people who had dogs, but the people who had cats, they were mostly people who lived in you know, stationary places like abandoned school bus or a junkyard or empty buildings. And, you know, their lives began to revolve around caring for cats. And these were, you know, we often talk about animals as our family, and these truly were their only family members that they had contact with.
That's really incredible. So the animals, they do provide great comfort to their people.
That's what I heard over and over again, that they were just you know, so grateful to have the animal, so appreciative to have that companionship in their lives.
And you mentioned the issues of addiction and mental illness. Do you encounter a lot of that, and what's the effect of those issues in the ability to care for an animal and keep the animal safe?
Well, one of the most interesting things about the research was the extent to which animals provided the catalyst for people to get sober and stay sober. And now I don't want to seem like I'm romanticizing homelessness or making homeless people seem like angels, because, you know, I have no idea what they did in the 23 hours of the day when I wasn't talking to them. But I heard stories, for example, of one woman who had a long-standing addiction to heroin and alcohol, and interspersed with crack. And she got to the point where she had to decide, did she want to keep doing drugs, or did she want to keep her dog? And she went cold turkey, and she told me a very touching story about how her dog really saved her life, just turned her life around.
That's incredible. We are speaking with Leslie Irvine. The book is My Dog Always Eats First, Homeless People and Their Animals. Fascinating book, interesting topic, and we'll be back after the break more with Leslie. This is Animals Today.
Measured out in miles. What makes you think you're something special when you smile? Childlike, no one understands. Jackknife in your sweaty hands.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website, again, is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually in the U.S. On average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Staples has always made getting office supplies easy, and now we're making it easy to get everything for your break room, too, like Folgers coffee for $6.99.
I'm going on a Staples run. Anyone need anything?
French roast.
Breakfast blend? Decaf?
I said Staples run, not coffee run.
Now Staples sells coffee supplies, so it's kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah, I don't do coffee runs. Intern!
For a limited time, get Folgers classic roast coffee for $6.99 at Staples. That was easy.
Offer ends 3/23/13. Limit one per customer while supplies last.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Dr. Leslie Irvine, who has gone into the field in a big way to produce the book, My Dog Always Eats First, Homeless People and Their Animals. And she's getting the real deal here. And you can buy this book anywhere. It's really interesting. It makes me wonder about the element of safety. Do the dogs in particular offer an element of protection to the folks that you met?
Oh, they definitely do. And I was surprised that even the little, you know, the people who had chihuahuas and little bitty lap dogs, they point out that the dog barking will scare somebody away. And the need for protection, I found, was particularly strong among the street kids and the kids who traveled quite a lot. And they slept in parks and public places regularly. And youth on the street are very, very often victimized sexually and you know, through physical assault. And their dogs were very, very valuable to them in that way.
Having spoken to the folks for this research, what would you suggest would be the best thing for people to do, or best things for us to do, if we're inclined to offer assistance to a homeless person who happens to be with a dog or a cat? I mean, we don't know what to do. Should you offer dog food or money or food for the people? I mean, we've been guessing about this, but now you can really tell us how we ought to behave here. We don't know.
Yeah, I wondered that too, and so going in, I thought I was going to be generous by providing them with a gift of dog food, and most people had plenty of food. You know, some people had as much as 40 pounds of food. They had people donating food to them all the time, and that getting food was absolutely no problem. So what I would recommend is first remember that the homeless person is a person, and you know, they are so often subject to verbal assaults and insults on the street. So I would say approach them with kindness and compassion for their situation. And the dogs will provide a great way to, a great icebreaker. You know, you can ask if you can pet the dog. And then I would say just, you know, ask them how they're doing and see if there's anything they need. Maybe it's not dog food, but maybe it's a clean pair of socks.
Yeah. That's great advice. Thanks for the guidance there. How do these relationships with the dogs and cats come about? How do they get connected? Where do the animals come from and stay with the people?
Like most people who have animals, they come from a variety of resources. Some people had animals before they ended up on the streets, and some people were. They got them from friends who couldn't care for them anymore. One kid, for example, was in front of a homeless shelter and waiting to take his shower, and he got his dog from a woman who had just decided she couldn't care for him anymore. People who had cats, as I said, were usually in stationary locations, and stray cats always ended up there one way or another. But also, homeless people will go to shelters and adopt animals, and also give an address, which may or may not be a legitimate address, because many shelters won't adopt if you don't have an address. But they'll find ways to get animals if they want. One woman encountered a man who was trading a puppy for a pack of cigarettes. And, you know, so she just gave him a few dollars, and he was happy to give her his puppy.
Wow. You know, there are a couple of potential criticisms that I think you addressed in the books, such as some people saying the homeless shouldn't have animals, and another comment is that the animals merely serve as props so the homeless can panhandle more effectively. What do you say about those ideas?
Well, in the first case, those of us who have homes tend to think that, you know, an animal, especially a dog, needs to live indoors, needs a certain level of care, and, you know, the homeless people will say, well, where is your dog right now? Is your dog home in a crate, you know, with nothing to do all day? My dog's right here with me 24/7, never leaves my side, has my companionship constantly, and we're never apart. The dog's always outdoors enjoying the fresh air and the sunshine. So they would argue that they're giving their animals what they need, and they kind of reframe pet ownership in a very different way than those of us who have houses do. They emphasize the 24/7 relationship, whereas we think of more in terms of shelter, I would say.
Yes.
And as for the notion that they were props for panhandling, people over and over again, now maybe they were just very good at spinning this, but they emphasized that they didn't exploit their animals, but that people were more willing to come up to them because they had a dog with them and, you know, ask if they needed money. But this also opened them up to the kind of insults that we've been talking about. You know, you don't deserve to have a dog. How can you take care of a dog if you can't even take care of yourself? That kind of thing. So it's a double-edged sword. It does serve as a resource, but it can also make them vulnerable.
So we've only got a few minutes left. Is there a special story or situation from the book you'd like to share with us as we wind this down?
Yeah, there is one story that has an especially happy ending. I met in 2010, I met a man named Chester who had a pit bull named Pinto. And Pinto had been rescued from an abusive situation by another homeless woman, and she gave him to Chester to take care of. And they had a long-standing relationship when I met them. And Chester's photograph with Pinto was used in some of the publicity photography for the book. And I'm happy to have heard in the past couple of months that Chester has moved into housing since I interviewed him, and Pinto is with him. And so they're both safely off the streets, out of the junkyard, and in stable housing.
How nice. So give me your summary thought. What sort of lives do these animals lead, particularly the dogs? Would you... What's it like for them? And if you can judge the quality of a dog life, is this a good way to live?
It really has gotten me to think about the needs of a dog in a different way. And I'm especially struck by the importance of companionship. I have no doubt that a dog needs to be, like a human being, needs to be protected from the elements too. And homeless people do their best to get out of the rain and the cold. But one thing I will say is that because I did the research primarily at these veterinary street clinics, that I did see animals who were by and large well cared for.
Gotcha. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us, Leslie Irvine.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, great. The book is My Dog Always Eats First, Homeless People and Their Animals, and it's really a fabulous and interesting study and well done. So after the break, Lori is going to be speaking about drones with Steve Hindy from Shark, so stick around. It was something to
observe. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week right here on the station, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Ah, the sound of small business getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are. Because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
Special message from Lumber Liquidators.
Every floor in every store is on sale at our end-of-quarter clearance sale. Clearance flooring is just 19 cents a square foot. Laminate, hardwood, bamboo, hand-scraped, and vinyl wood plank. They're all on sale. Get up to 59% off compared to big box store flooring prices, plus special extended financing. Don't miss it. These deals will not last. End of quarter clearance is going on now. Visit lumberliquidators.com or your local store for your flooring deal today.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
If you drive a pre-owned GM vehicle with OnStar, you've got a powerful connection to help wherever you go, but only if your service is active. So we're giving you a chance to test drive it for 3 months at no cost, contract, or obligation. Just push the blue OnStar button and ask for 3 months on us. If you're lost, stranded, or need help, we'll be there. Offer good on 2006 or newer digitally equipped GM models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations.
Because Jan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her savings account wants to take her to a fireworks show. But it can't. It's a savings account. It can't read where the next fireworks show is in the local paper. Switch to Geico, and every time you see extra money, you'll know your savings account wants to take you to a fireworks show. But remember, it can't. It doesn't know how to read. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Well, in U.S. News and World Report the other day was an article titled PETA Plans to Fly Drones That Would Stalk Hunters. And my first reaction was, all right. Then I came across a report of the use of drones in northeastern India to monitor rhinos and to try to prevent poaching. You know, the horns, as you probably know, are a valuable prize. So naturally, we contacted Steve Hindy from Shark, Showing Animals Respect and Kindness. Steve has been on the show describing the use of a small helicopter to video illegal animal cruelty. So let's get his take on these stories. Welcome to the show, Steve.
How you doing, Lori? Glad to be here.
Thanks. Steve, describe your experience using unmanned aircraft in your crusade against animal cruelty. What was going on with the canned pigeon shootings, and why a drone?
Because in the beginning of our pigeon shoot investigations, they were right there. They would, you know, we would park and we would pull out our cameras and we would film. And then we exposed the obvious cruelty that was going on. And the pigeon shooters, being cowards on top of being animal abusers, of course, they didn't like that. So they started moving their operations farther off the road. And so we got bigger lenses. And we continued to expose the obvious abuse. So then they started hiding behind screens and small trees. We got some devices called HiPods, which could film, could raise a camera up 30 feet and film over those obstructions. So then they really went all out. Now, you know, they're filming way back off of, you know, quarter, third, half mile off of the road and this kind of thing. So what we needed to do was still be able to show people what was going on. We don't want people to just believe what we say. We want them to see it with their own eyes. The animal abusers don't want them to see it with, you know, they don't want to see what's going on. So we got helicopters that could really raise the cameras up and continue to film not only animal abuse, but things like one place burns the pigeons afterwards and used tires, which is very illegal to burn tires, used tires to accelerate the fire. So the drones, the whole concept of drones has so much potential for all of us, whether it's public service, like, say, law enforcement or even fighting fires. The drones can be looking at things. You don't have to put people at risk. In commerce, it's just unlimited how much business people and or farmers could be using these devices and all this kind of thing. And so there's this tremendous opportunity for people to make an advance, and yet it's being stymied in large part by animal abusers who say, oh, we have a right to privacy. Well, I mean, it's just silliness, but that's the way it's working. And what's funny is that the National Rifle Association, who thinks that guns should be able to threaten people all over the country, don't want drones, which have never hurt anybody, to be illegal.
Steve, where did the aircraft come from? And is it hard to fly and control?
They come from various places. Ours are made in Germany. The parts, you know, it comes as a kit, you put it together. They're made in Germany, but they're being made in Japan and China and, you know, any number. It's going to grow all over the place. You definitely need to practice at it. Definitely to practice at it. It's not, you know, it's a device that has to be taken seriously. Much like your car. You know, you had to learn to drive a car. You have to learn to fly these things. And there's certain common sense rules that you need to observe. You don't fly them over large groups of people. There's certain altitude restrictions and all this kind of thing. But so it's not rocket science, but it is something that you have to have respect for and operate the right way.
Steve, didn't your drone get shot at?
They've been shot at numerous times. They've been damaged on a number of occasions, and they've actually been shot down on a few occasions. Did we actually lose it.
Yeah, and that must be illegal to shoot at your aircraft. Were the shooters arrested and prosecuted?
No. The really fascinating thing about this is that in the places we're filming pigeon shoots, South Carolina and Pennsylvania, those shoots are illegal. If somebody would bother to read the law and respect the law, they would see that these shoots are illegal. So the police will not stop the shoots, which are illegal, but they will also not investigate, or certainly will not resolve cases in which where our aircraft have been shot at, damaged, and even shot down. So it's an amazing thing that's going on here, the way law enforcement works in places that are corrupt enough to allow pigeon shoots. We've got a real crisis, and unfortunately, it extends to the top levels of government. In South Carolina, Nikki Haley, the governor, knows what's going on. And we made very certain that she was well-informed, won't do a thing. Same thing in Pennsylvania. Governor Tom Corbett, the state police, the Pennsylvania State Police, are the ones that are supposed to be investigating the shoot-downs of our aircraft. And instead, for instance, they told CNN that we were flying in an FAA-restricted zone. Nonsense. Absolutely a lie. They said that they thought it might have been an accident. The property that the copter was shot at doesn't allow rifles, and they know damn well that it was a rifle that brought it down.
Right.
And then because of the rifle trajectory on the aircraft, I mean, you can tell by putting a rod through where the bullet came through. It points to the direction where the aircraft was shot from. Clearly, it was on the property where you're not supposed to be using rifles. And the state police, well, here, let me throw this little tidbit out for you. One of the pigeon shooters is a lawyer for the state police. That's how bad things are in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Pigeon shooting is illegal, and they don't enforce that. And then they shoot at your aircraft, and of course the authorities do nothing against that. So it's really unbelievable. Steve, you have seen the story about PETA wanting to get into the drone surveillance business. What's your take on this?
I hope it's true. I hope that people who care about animals will make use of this technology to help. You know, they're caring for animals and to expose things that are going on. I'm a little bit, you know, this is something you have to be very serious about. Like I said, you have to train, you have to practice, and you have to know what you're doing. And putting out a release before you ever even bought the drone, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. My guess is that in PETA's case, it probably won't happen. It got them some great coverage, but I doubt it'll go much farther than that. But I hope that other animal protection groups that, you know, spend a lot of time out in the field like we do will consider having somebody who enjoys that kind of hobby making use of it in that particular way.
Yeah. In the last 2 minutes, Steve, the use of drones to protect wild animals in places like India from illegal poaching. Now, this seems like a very good idea. Do you think it's going to work? And they seem to be using small fixed-wing aircraft. Do you have any experience with them?
Yeah, well, the fixed-wing aircraft can travel longer distances. They're not as good at getting close-up, detailed footage, but they're better at traveling long distances. I mean, we're talking hundreds of miles, which is something that our particular aircraft do not do. Ours are much more localized. And so, you know, I hope the technology is coming along. It's moving at an incredible pace. And I just hope that these groups that are saying they're going to do it are going to do it, because there's so much to be gained from it. Whether you're a group or whether you're an individual, you know, my understanding is that it was an individual who put one up over Texas, over that river, and saw that slaughterhouse was dumping its garbage right into a local river, and they got that place shut down. So these things can have, I mean, you know, they literally give you wings, and that's a tremendous jump forward for the animals, for the people who are serious about doing it.
Yeah. Well, Steve Hindy, he's from Shark, showing animals respect and kindness. Great work, Steve. As always, thanks for appearing on Animals Today.
Lori, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Don't go away. We have Peter in the News right up next on Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org. That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
Staples has always made getting office supplies easy, and now we're making it easy to get everything for your break room, too, like Scott paper towel six-packs for $4.99.
Hey, ready for lunch?
Sure, just gotta put on my lunch pants.
Lunch pants?
Yeah, to wipe my hands on. This office is always out of paper towels.
We got more from Staples, so keep your business pants on, please.
Your loss.
For a limited time, get Scott Mega Roll paper towel six-packs for $4.99 at Staples. That was easy. Offer ends 3/23/13. Limit one per customer while supplies last.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068, 800-957-6068, that's 800-957-6068.
Ah, the sound of small business, getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are, because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
Special message from Lumber Liquidators.
Every floor in every store is on sale at our end-of-quarter clearance sale. Clearance flooring is just 19 cents a square foot. Laminate, hardwood, bamboo, hand-scraped, and vinyl wood plank. They're all on sale. Get up to 59% off compared to big box store flooring prices, plus special extended financing. Don't miss it. These deals will not last. End of quarter clearance is going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com or your local store for your flooring deal today.
At Hotels.com, we've got thousands of deals for every occasion. And to celebrate spring, we've got low prices on your favorite getaways. But what could we call such a fantastic sale? The I'm so happy it's finally spring I could dance sale? The Man I Love a Quick Weekend Getaway Sale? The Grab the Camera Cause It's Family Vacation Time Sale? How about just the spring sale? That about sums it up.
Now through April 1st, save up to 30% on your favorite destinations. Book now only at Hotels.com. Finding you the perfect place at the perfect price.
Welcome back to the show. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
How's it going?
It's going great. I want a drone.
I want a drone, too.
I want two of them.
What would you do with them?
Yeah.
Who would you monitor?
I don't want to monitor. I just want to fly it. You know, Bieber's monkey is still in Munich.
Oh.
I just needed to give you an update on our genius
Bieber
star who entered Germany for a tour on his jet, and he had this capuchin monkey, his pet, named Mali, given to him by another smart guy, Jamal Malimal Rashid, who's a music producer. Anyway, there's Bieber and the monkey. Of course, they confiscate his monkey because he did not have the documents certifying compliance with the Animal Health and Species Protection Regulations.
But how stupid is that?
So the monkey's still in quarantine, and the monkey, by all reports, is howling and crying to be amongst its people. It's a baby monkey who was taken away way too early from its mom.
Okay,
usually they stay with their parents with the mothers for a year, and this one was taken away at just weeks old and is trying to just find its kin.
So what's going to happen?
So it turns out the German officials and a very smart shelter boss called Karl Heinz Joachim describes the situation as heartbreaking, and they're trying to convince the Bieber folks to just leave the monkey there and let them put it in a sanctuary and repopulate it.
Okay, and what's Bieber going to do?
They say they're going through the process and at the moment trying to get it back, but maybe they'll come to their senses. I'm not optimistic.
I want a drone to follow Bieber.
But look at all, do you think that's a good?
Okay.
I'm sure TMZ has a Bieber drone. Don't you think so?
Okay.
But all the Bieber fans, you boys and girls, you should know how stupid your hero is.
Right.
That's all I want to
say. But I don't know if they do, and they're going to back him up.
Well, there's a lot of stupidity to go around because in Honolulu, the security screeners at a courthouse noticed something was moving in some guy's bag. So he's a defendant. He's entering the courthouse. He's going through security and passing something moving through the x-ray machine, and it is a live duck. And also they found some beer. So the duck is the guy's pet, and the duck, you're not allowed to bring animals into the courthouse, so they turned the duck away. And the guy has two felony assault cases pending.
What happened to the duck?
And the duck was, duck's fine. But
okay.
They're not used to seeing ducks try to get pet. They say that people try to bring dogs into the courthouse, and they don't understand. You're not supposed to bring animals into the courthouse.
But they're my therapy dog. Yeah. They're my comfort duck.
What do you think?
They have a vest on,
know,
a duck vest on.
A duck
okay.
Vest.
Okay.
That's good. What do you think? What city in the U.S. has been named the best city for four-legged travelers? Okay. And I'm going to tell you the criteria used were number of pet-friendly hotels, number of off-leash dog parks per 100,000 residents, and the city's walkability. What are the top cities? Name one in the top 10, and you'll get a prize. How's
okay.
that?
Okay. San Diego.
San Diego, no, did not make the list. But the number, not, and even Boston, you would think, would make the list. But number one is Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Yes. And most of the cities are in the West, like Portland, Tucson, Tampa, Florida, Indianapolis, Salt Lake City, Austin, Texas, Tulsa, Louisville, and San Francisco.
Was it in Albuquerque where we saw that guy who was exploiting the dog, a cat he put on top of the dog, and a mouse he trained to put on top of the cat, like a little pyramid?
Yeah.
Remember that?
That was Santa Fe.
Oh, that was Santa Fe.
But still, the spectacle of a guy,
right.
He truly was aiming for donations.
Right. Remember I had a fight with him.
Yeah.
I wanted to steal his dog, cat, and mouse.
He would place the cat on the dog, or the cat would jump on the back of the dog.
Right. And then the mouse
would walk onto the head or of the cat.
Right.
And make a pyramid.
Right.
And he would ask for money.
People surrounded him, giving him all sorts of money.
Yeah, that's...
This was terrible.
I know.
So I stole his money and stole his dog and cat. No.
Did you hear about the circus elephant, which was shot?
Down
in Tupelo.
Okay.
Okay, a world-famous circus is transporting animals, and as one is going by, a 39-year-old Asian elephant was shot in the shoulder by a passing vehicle.
Oh, my goodness.
And the elephant's fine. It was caused about the size of a dime-sized hole in his shoulder. Elephant is fine, but they can't find the shooter. Rewards being placed for him.
Wow.
So what's the obligation of a circus or anybody moving animals around to protect their animals against crazies? I don't know.
How do you
protect an elephant against a crazy shooter?
Well,
some people just want to shoot at anything walking, don't they?
Like, right.
It's irresistible.
Yeah, well, they have a responsibility. Whether it's enforced, that's another question.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't be animals in the circuses anyway, so.
Down in Southern California, in the Southern California desert, not far away from Palm Springs, engineer on a railroad train spotted something ahead, and he saw a dog actually tied to the rails in front of him.
Oh, I hate people. Yes.
So there's this little mixed breed, and the engineer spots it, fortunately, in time, and engages the emergency brakes and stops in time, and they get out, and they encounter a confused older guy, perhaps senile, and this dog. And the guy didn't know what to do with the dog. They didn't want the dog anymore, so this is the solution.
So they tie the dog to the train tracks.
To the train.
This is right here in our backyard.
Yes. So dog's fine. The dog is now in the Department of Animal Services in Riverside, California.
He's adorable.
Up for adoption.
He's adorable.
And you can check him out online.
What happened to the guy?
The guy was released back to his family because he's
You're kidding.
Sick. Yeah, they didn't feel they could press charges due to his mental state. So what do you do? And finally, I know, it's crazy. If you go to visit your daughter on a road trip and your golden retriever eats five of your $100 bills, what do you do? Well, you try to find the pieces of them and put them back together and send them off to the Treasury Department and ask them to exchange it for nice new fresh ones. And that's what one guy is doing. And apparently if you've got at least 51% of each bill, that gets you a new fresh
one. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. So
don't leave your $100 bills lying around.
Yeah,
I don't know who does that.
Wow.
I don't know.
Soaked in beef juice or something.
That goes beyond the job description for that Treasury Bureau work, don't you think?
It does. Thanks, Peter. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other being sure in our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Larry Dickerson. A bipartisan group of senators have been working on a bill that would allow illegal immigrants to obtain citizenship. Illegals who entered the U.S. before 2012 would stay, while those who entered after 2012 would be deported. On Friday, at a community college in Christiansburg, Virginia, 18-year-old Neil McInnis allegedly shot two women. Thankfully, an off-duty security guard subdued McInnis before anyone else was hurt. Public schools in the area were briefly locked down as a precaution. China is North Korea's biggest ally, and Secretary of State John Kerry has planned to meet with China's top leaders in an effort to get China to put more pressure on North Korea to back down from threats and return to nuclear talks. You're listening to IRN USA News.
Ladies, when was the last time you found it easy to lose weight? If you're like most women, it was before you turned 40. That's because age 40 is when hormonal imbalance begins. And until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. Thank goodness today we have Ambrin. Ambrin promotes hormonal balance naturally. It's clinically shown to cause weight loss in women over 40 with no big lifestyle changes required.
I thought I was somehow not trying hard enough to lose weight. Turns out it was my hormones. Once I started with Ambrin, the weight fell away. It was so easy, and I feel fantastic.
Ambrin relieves other symptoms of menopause, too, like hot flashes, fatigue, sleeplessness, and many more. The first 50 callers right now can get a complimentary, risk-free trial of Ambrin with a 30-day supply free. Now, free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers now at 1-800-510-3558. That's 1-800-510-3558. 1-800-510-3558.
A package containing a crude bomb was intercepted by postal workers, and later the bomb was neutralized by police. The package was mailed to the sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, who also calls himself America's toughest sheriff. Texas prosecutors raising money to find the killers of two Texas district attorneys has been seeking to double the existing $200,000 reward, an effort seen by some law enforcement experts as an indication the investigation into the killings has stalled. No arrests have been made in relation to the murders. A pension fund for California's teachers has planned to sell holdings in two major firearms companies that make weapons which have been made illegal in California. The California State Teachers Retirement System has been worth $161 billion. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
How would you like to save money on gas and get paid to do it? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the 3-